Praise the Lord.
Amen. So next time you see that deer on the road, don't steer into it, is what you're saying. But, you know, and out of that hardship, and you stood before this congregation, I know, 3 weeks ago, saying, God spared us. And praise God for that as well. Thank you. And we don't know what God will do amidst the pain or the hardship at times. Many of us do this. And that is, we formulate at times in various shapes or forms a to-do list. Is that a fair thing to say? Even today, you make a if you're going on a trip, do you make a to-do list? Or, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it in my gym bag and hopefully I get it all in there, and I will be asked if I did, and I'll go, no. Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time I had to borrow some, but that's not the point. The truth is, we use them, and I use post-it note or stick-it note, whatever, you know, sticky notes. And out of that, you know, you look and there's like, to-do lists. You think, well, or a grocery list. If you don't do your grocery list, what's going to happen? What looks good, you grab. I've done that. Ask my wife and I. According, and probably not your recent Red magazine, Harvard Business Review had this recently, to-do lists don't work. And the bottom line is, they say, because we like to do the things that are less challenging, are easy, make us feel good, and we want to cross them off and say, look what I did. Ah, you know, rather than the tough things. And the bottom line is, I didn't agree with all the reasoning, but the bottom line, they said, you know, still there's a good thing about a calendar, putting things forward and together and realizing so many things are left unfinished that it's good to plan and process things ahead, you know, for what it's worth. But today, friends, as I look at this, that's kind of ties into where we're going. We're going to start a study in the book of Acts. Part of chapter 1 was read for us. Jesus said that it is finished. The saving work that God the Father brought about through Jesus the Son on the cross, it is finished. Friends, it is done, and it has lingering effects and results today. It is finished. We do not add or take from the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Correct? I hope you say yes or amen, because that's it. So what's unfinished? Friends, the task he has left for us, he did not reach all, he did not heal all, he did not release the demonized, he did not do all of that. What has he chosen to do? We're it. So the task that's unfinished is now the kingdom work for us. And so that's, and I've kind of laughingly said, as I've projected some messages and beginning to look at things for, Lord willing, Advent. Yes, I said that. I like to plan ahead, but God can intervene. It's unfinished, God's work that he's left for us. Someday it will be finished, whether he calls us home or when he comes to claim us, it will be finished. So it is unfinished, and I have kind of said that in some ways I may not finish this series, so it would be unfinished. That's fine too. The Lord knows this. The book of Acts is a book of transition. It is from the ministry of our Lord Jesus, the four portraits painted by each of the of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, to the ministry of the apostles, Peter and Paul mainly, but the apostles, they ministered. It's a book of history. There are things that begin to transition and move forward. So as we look at this today, it is with Acts 1, that transition. It's the birth and the establishment and the expansion of the local church. It is also the account of work of the Holy Spirit that begins in and through the church. Without him, friends, we can't do anything. And the Gospel of Luke, who wrote both this book as a traveling companion, personal physician as well to the Apostle Paul, as a Gentile physician, he was blessed and privileged to do some careful research and began that account. And he wrote to this guy by the name of, you know, maybe you've heard the word or maybe not, Theophilus, which, you know, it depends what part of the country you're from. you know. And he writes to his friend because he wanted his friend to know who Jesus is and what he had begun to do. We'll look at what he wrote in chapter 1 of Luke as well. But what he began both to do and teach, and Acts tells us what he continues to do and teach through his body, through the church, even to this day. And this is the unfinished business. As they're getting ready for Pentecost, Jesus meets with his closest followers, as was read for us in Acts chapter 1. I'd like you to turn there if you're not already there. Follow along, always encouraged. And what they said, what they did, reveals a little bit, to me, their faith of the church at that time, first century. And what did they really believe? In my persuasion, kind of three beliefs that for us to embrace. They aren't new beliefs. They're probably going to be affirmations for many of us. But the three things they chose to believe, the first thing is the reality of Jesus is the foundation. The reality of Jesus is the foundation. He wrote this, my former book. So he's referencing a work that was already produced. And I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 1 to read what Luke the physician recorded. Luke said this in beginning of his writings under the guidance of the Spirit of God. Many have undertaken to draw up an account, as I read from Luke chapter 1, of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were the first, who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus or Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So Paul wrote this to a personal friend or someone he was acquainted with, served alongside, knew of, wanted him to be certain of what Jesus had done and did. And now he comes to chapter 1 in Acts and says, he's referencing all of this. And some thought that when they were looking at what books should be included, they already sensed the Spirit of God in the movement when they decided which books would be, and there were a couple, you know, James. No, James didn't contradict Paul, but, you know, they really thought Luke and Acts should be right there together. But they didn't want to interrupt that, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay, Acts, transition, we get it. So he says, he began to do and teach until the day he was taken to heaven after giving instructions or commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, he showed himself to these men. And what did he do? Many convincing proofs that he was alive. Thus our songs this morning, right? He is alive. Praise the Lord. He is alive forevermore. Appeared to them over 40 days and spoke of the kingdom. Friends, the foundation has been, remains our Lord Jesus. Many convincing proofs. What does it take to convince us? Evidence. Evidence, as one author wrote, a kind of a groundbreaking two-set volume, Josh McDowell wrote, evidence that demands a verdict. And he wrote a compelling evidence of who Jesus is and what he has done and all the prophecies and everything that have been fulfilled and so forth. Friends, many convincing proofs that Jesus was and is alive. Friends, so that entails for us, if he's the foundation, here's the work that he did, right? That he did do. Luke wanted to write more to his friend, to know who he was and is, and it's about the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Our church is built upon Jesus, the life and his teaching and that reality, and the hope that that brings to us. The existence in the first century and existence today depended upon that truth. And the greatest work he accomplished is his own death and resurrection. That's the work Jesus did, the words Jesus declared. They, in their thinking, the apostles said, hey, you know, are you going to restore? You know, that's our hope. That's our aspiration. You know, at some point, we're thinking everything's going to be handed back over to us and the kingdom will be restored. They thought the earthly kingdom, the Davidic kingdom, the rule and reign of the Israelites upon the Middle East would be prevalent and predominant. Jesus said, that you don't quite get it, fellas. Doesn't your Bible say that? You don't quite get, you know, don't be concerned about those things. So Jesus had some things, he gave commandments or instructions to them about the kingdom that was had begun or inaugurated through Jesus Christ and was going to be finally fulfilled when Jesus Christ fully established his personal, visible rule and reign upon this earth. Friends, don't make no mistake, it's here but not fully here, inaugurated. And through the many convincing proofs. So he spoke about the kingdom of God because he was alive. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And make no mistake, things pertaining to his kingdom, the kingdom where we acknowledge fully and finally heaven rules. The kingdom was coming. I was trying to think when this was. I was trying to put a time stamp on it. Again, we think of times and dates, and Jesus says, don't worry about those, but pertaining to the kingdom. A few years ago, where we were privileged to live in Rogers, the corner lot sat empty, and it was a great area for airsoft, kind of, I think, what is that? Well, it's like soft BBs, how about that? If you don't have protective gear, it might not feel soft. Great for hunting eggs. And then all of a sudden, the stakes appear, the posts appear, and they begin excavating. And what was the thought? Hey, new neighbors. Oh, there goes our airsoft field. You know? Hey, God might be bringing some new neighbors to us. And so a home was built and still resides there. And as I looked at that and I began to see that, a little did I know years later I'd work with a similar company, but the truth is, they had to get the foundation right. If they didn't, guess what? You have water leak. The house would fall apart. Things and friends, if the foundation is right, that's why I ask people when I hear about concerns or challenges, I ask the question: how are you making it? How are you getting through all this? And you say, well, you know, I'm just kind of hanging in. Friends, without Jesus, I cannot make it. I cannot accomplish, I cannot survive, I cannot thrive today apart from him. He is the foundation of my existence and my life. Everything is founded and rooted upon him. Friends, that's true for the church. It should be true for you. He is my very being, my very foundation, that built upon. Foundation is the key, and the reality of who Jesus is the foundation of the church because he demonstrated, he gave many convincing proofs. Did they need full persuasion? You know, one of them said, you know, unless I see him and put my hands in his side and touch him, I won't believe. You know what I think? I think Thomas was voicing what the others felt. That's my thinking. You can choose otherwise. And we think of him as what? Doubting Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. He doubted. He was just being human. He saw Jesus alive, and our Lord, my Lord and my God, he believed, and blessed are you, but blessed also are those we who believe and haven't seen. Friends, we are blessed because we believe that Jesus is the foundation of our lives and of this church. His church, this local expression, the reality of it, and Jesus invites us to believe. Did they need many convincing proofs? I think just seeing the nail scars and hearing him talk to them was more than enough. But it says many convincing proofs. You want to say there was a watertight argument? There it was. He's standing before them with scars in his hands and his side and his feet, and he's talking to them of the kingdom things that probably echoed much of what he taught them and showed them prior to his going to the cross. Friends, that's our Lord. He is the foundation of our lives. If he's not the foundation of your life, I'm not sure how you make it then. You need him in your life. You need Jesus in your life. Turn to him. Trust in him, right? He is my foundation. He is the best thing going, right? Well, that's the first belief that the church embraced, that he is the foundation of their existence. There's a second thing, verses 6 through 8, that the revelation, you think revelation, friends, don't panic. Just revelation just means making known. right? He made known who he was and is, and it becomes the focus of the church. When they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Pretty please? They're hoping. They're thinking. No, when they met together, he says, you know, boys, don't worry about those times or the dates. And it's probably echoing back to Matthew 24 and 25 when he gave this talk, this conversation about the kingdom of God and only God the Father. It's reserved for him to know. Don't be concerned about that, but be prepared. And in the meantime, guess what, friends? You're going to be something special in this world. You're going to be something special. You're going to be a witness. That's verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And friends, you can look at verse 8 as the approach to witnessing or evangelism, but it's also the outline for this book. That's where they began, geographically, Jerusalem, Judea. And by the way, he included those outcasts, the different people groups, Samaria. That's intentional, and to the very ends of the earth, the very ends. So Jesus is the focus of the church. You will be my witnesses. It's a declaration that says you will be and continue to be with what you do, what you say, how you act, your behavior, all your attitudes. Friends, there's a world watching you, and you need to be this. Friends, wow, that little pressure there. And I've said before that you feel at times people are following you, don't take that too far. You look up at a stoplight, there might be cameras, watching the intersection. See, yeah, they're watching you. You go to a bank, you do an automatic bank transaction at a drive-up, and there's a little camera. Yes, there is. There's a camera there. They're watching. What are they watching? Isn't there anything better on? Friends, the truth is, people are watching your life and my life. They are. They want to see Jesus in us. Will they see that? And I will admit this, when we think of, wait, I'm to be a witness? Yeah. What kind of witness will we be? That's the question. Friends, you will receive power. Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses. Friends, not all of us have the privilege or the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. When we do, what great joy. What a privilege. But all of us are called to be witnesses. Witnesses. So he is a focus of the church. And he reminds us there's a plan greater than us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus, his kingdom. That the Father has a fixed plan in place. We can then what? Focus on carrying out that plan. That's what he calls us to. The plan that Jesus gave. And you know what that means, that plan? There's no fluctuating. There's no, well, let me think about that. Let's get a let's sub that, or let's get another opinion on this. Nope. It's a new opportunity, but it's also a need that you can't do this on your own, boys. Friends, we can't do it without the Spirit of God, the power that comes, the dynamite that comes, the power that is infused when Jesus is resident in us, the Spirit of God comes upon you. Praise him for that. So that also means that that is a power given to us. The apostles, they wanted him to set up his kingdom, right? Set it up. And Jesus, they're saying, nope, spread it out. Friends, you and I need, just as they did, desperately need the Spirit of God. Every one of us can be that faithful witness. Just think about this for a moment. Some of you, this will probably you'll identify with. Some of you will say, "I don't carry that personalized computer in my pocket like this." But right now, there's all sorts of signals that are bouncing. I'm not answering them. There's signals. There's a wireless transmission to get. There are things that are happening within, and you don't. Do we see it? But we see evidence of it. Maybe better yet, when the wind blows, do you know when the wind is blowing? And the wind accelerates? Yeah. And you feel like the gale force is upon you, or there's a gentle breeze. And you're thinking, that's refreshing. Where the wind blows, we do not. Where it's going, we don't always know. But do we see evidence of it? Sure. Friends, such is the Holy Spirit, the unseen person, not merely power. He is not the power of the force, on contrary. He is a person, often referred to as third, sent from the Father because Jesus ascended, now the Spirit of God, to infuse us with the power we need to be what we cannot be of ourselves, a witness. Friends, the same purpose, the same power from God Himself. If you were to ask what the kingdom agenda is, and this might be some new math for us, WBO, this is not a wrestling title or anything, you know, WWE or WFC, you know, don't think of that way. But if you were to think of WBO, it's one by one, or E1R1. That has nothing to do with the initials of like Elk River, you know, just each one, reach one. Think about that. If I'm to be a witness, why? So that as Peter get it and caught it and passes it on, so that none might be lost. Friends, let it drive us forward. It's not about me. It's not about all the concerns, but it's about Jesus, His kingdom, His agenda, His game plan to be His witness now and each and every day. Can we do it out of ourselves? No, not at all. But with God's Spirit presiding and guiding, by all means. I did have this. I took out all the transitions in this, but what is our greatest need in America right now? Don't answer. You might say something political, and I can't affirm or deny it. But greatest need in America right now. Greatest need in your life right now. Greatest need in this church right now. Friends, the answer, dun-dun-dun, you already read, I know. The power of the Spirit of God. We need Him. I need Him. To do, to be what I cannot be, what I cannot do. When I look at this, this is a near frightening, it is a daunting task. Again, if we look back to Matthew 28, we keep our eyes upon Him who is risen, upon Him who has all authority. Then it becomes achievable. It is not mission impossible, but it's His mission and His task. To be my witnesses, where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And friends, that's what's happening to this day. Praise God. His kingdom plan is that the world might know who He is. Some of it's through hardship. Some of it's through modern technology. Some of it is because people go out into the street or go to their neighbors, go to the nations to tell them to be a witness. But we can't do it without Him. Paul said it this way, that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Friends, that is both a command to fulfill, to act upon, to be filled with the Spirit. It's also understanding that it's not of ourselves. It's beyond ourselves, and the evidence of the Spirit of God is, you can read it there in Ephesians 5, but trust that God will fill us with His Spirit to do what we cannot do of ourselves. So the church at that time in the first century had these beliefs that He is the foundation of the church. Amen for that. But He's also the focus of the church. And we can get caught up in doing so many good things, we forget that our main focus is to do what? The main thing. Make it all about Him, right? But I don't have the words. I don't have all the connections. Friends, if we seek the Lord, He will answer, and He'll delight in doing that. Luke said it this way, that when you stand before the rulers and the authorities, don't worry about what you will say. Don't worry about that. Don't worry, because the Holy Spirit will guide you at that time what you will say. Luke 12, verses 11 and 12, I've condensed it a little bit. But friends, that's what, don't worry. Does it mean we don't prepare? I didn't say that. That means we treasure up Scripture. We remember John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, singular and specific. Jesus is the focus, and I want Him to be of this church. He is the foundation of this church. But lastly, the third belief, the return of Jesus is the future of the church. Our future, the full reality. After He said this very thing, He says, don't worry about the times or the dates. The power will come upon you. You will be my witnesses because of the presence and the power of the Spirit. And you'll be my witnesses worldwide, globally, locally, neighbors and nations. After He said this, what a sight. It wasn't until a number of years ago that as I flipped some channels on the radio and I was driving in downtown Chicago, which you would think that's a parking lot. It is not. And in the midst of that, you hear on the radio, I hear there's an accident at, and I'm at that location. But you'd think that's what's causing the backup. But the other side is doing what? They're doing what they call the gaper delay. They want to see what's going on. Wow, can you believe that? And then the road opens up in front of you. Seriously. There's nobody ahead. Vroom. After you stop to look, see what's happening. Does that happen in Minnesota? I think so. Friends, the apostles were left gaping, mouths open, going, sorry, there goes Jesus. And you wonder what's on their thinking, what are they feeling, and the assurance of two men, most likely messengers sent by God the Father, appeared. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? With no jet propulsion goes Jesus into the clouds, and the clouds hit him. Why are you standing here? And I read it this way. Didn't he give you a commission, a task to do, boys, to you apostles? Yeah. Why are you still looking here? This same Jesus who said these things, this same Jesus who you saw and he gave many convincing proofs, this same Jesus who is crucified upon the cross, horribly, mercilessly, who was buried and left for dead, conquered the grave, conquered hell, rose again triumphantly, and he is now ascending into heaven, just as he said, this Jesus, who has been taking you from you into heaven, will come back. Amen. Should we pray and go home? No. Friends, the return of Jesus, when I say is the future, this is our future. This is our hope, a blessed hope entrusted to us that is permeated throughout the New Testament. Friends, if there was no resurrection, our hope would be in vain, pointless, useless. But because he lives, because we can find in him the triumphant vindication of who he is through the cross, through the death, through the resurrection and his ascension, praise God, we can call upon him. He meets us where we're at. He infuses us with hope, and that is our future. So the purpose of that is, why are you still here? Get on with it. Go. That's what they're kind of inviting here. Go. Get on with it, boys. To the apostles. But part of that is they encountered Jesus, and no doubt, and through that encounter, they encountered the risen Lord. We know in Matthew 28, elsewhere, they worshiped him appropriately, rightly. Friends, that worship, when we see who Jesus is, that is the fuel for our fire. That is part of what God wants for us, that as we assemble and we gather and we call upon him and we seek him, we worship and praise him and find in him the means and the hope and the courage to continue on and share life's journey together as his church. Excuse me, his church. But that's the purpose of his return. Get on with it. Go forth. But also, notice, we'll come back. Again, it's a future declaration that says, it'll happen. Be ready. In the meantime, get going. He will come back in the same way. Up, he's going to come back and claim us for his own. Friends, it's a comforting truth. Amen? I hear that echo in your hearts. It is a comforting truth that God says and promises. The assurance given, he will come back. But it's motivation. Be found ready. Be found watching. Be found witnessing, working unto him. Some of you might have grown up with the stories of Ramona Quimby. Have you ever read stories of Ramona? We read stories. Often when we traveled, Melanie would read the stories of Ramona. I'm like, I never read Ramona when I was growing up. I'm getting a second childhood. But on Ramona's first day of kindergarten in Ramona the Pest, that's the title of the book, Ramona the Pest. Go ahead, check it out later. You can read it. But Ramona the Pest, her teacher brings her to her seat and tells her what? Sit here for the present. Ramona, not knowing the various meanings of the word present, thinks that she's going to get a gift. Sit here for the present. Yes! So she thinks that she will be given a gift if she occupies this seat all day. So her classmates play games and group activities. She refuses to budge. Nope, I'm sitting here for the present. And she's going to get that present that was promised. Think of the, I read the story, I'm like, wow. But think of her humiliation of her misunderstanding, and it adds insult to the injury of the crushing disappointment she feels when she learns that there's no present, no gift. And she wasted the day waiting for one. Poor Ramona. But the reality is, friends, we're to occupy. We don't idly sit by. Sit here for the present. Waiting is not pointless. Waiting is a forward-looking anticipation that the gift that God brings us today is the the power and the courage and the words and the means and is reality of God's empowering presence to go forth to be what he wants us to be for his church, for his name, to make it all about him. Should believe about Jesus as the first century church did. It still resonates. We're going to be embarking on a journey here. We find that verse 12 just says, then after they were challenged or kind of moved along by the angels, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, and it says a Sabbath day walk, short distance from the city. And they went upstairs to the room and pray, and they began to pray. And then they brought someone else into the midst because Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself, and they elected one of their own, and Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. That's the account in chapter 1. But as we encounter this, the unfinished task is before us. It's a challenge. Who can accomplish it in of themselves? Not me. But it's us trusting in a mighty Savior who conquers all, who moves among us, who empowers us with the gift of the Spirit of God. And we realize that his life is our foundation, right? He's my foundation. His truth of who he is our message. He is our focus. And his return is our hope. Until he comes, let us go. Friends, Jesus still chooses to use you and me with our frailties, with our humanness, with our weaknesses, with our lack of words, with our not feeling well some days. Friends, in all this, God still chooses to use you and me. We are his church. So as I thought this through, there's three things as we wrap this up together. Three things. What I want you to do, and when I say head, heart, hands, maybe you've seen that before. Head, what I want you to know. Heart, what I want you to feel. And hands, what I'd like you to do. What I want you to know is that the work of Jesus was finished. The saving work of Jesus was finished on the cross. But his teaching builds and impacts his church, this church today. I want you to know that, right? What I want you to feel, and here's what I want you to feel. I want you to feel we are empty at times, aren't we? We have, where do I find, I have this to do, or I have this to go to, or this doctor visit, or this appointment, whatever it is, and you say, in all of this, God still calls me to be a witness. Yes, a witness at the doctor's office, a witness at the workplace, a witness in our family, a witness in our neighborhood, wherever we go, whatever we do, I am his witness. So we feel empty, we feel helpless to share our faith. Friends, that's when God says, my power is made perfect in you. Delight in your weakness, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12. So when we feel empty and helpless, inadequate, feeble, God's Spirit abounds. And by the way, ask God to fill you. Fill me today, Lord. Use me today, I pray. Do you believe God will answer that? I do. What I want you to do, there's a number of things you might be led to do as a result of this. Some of you received slips, your harvest list. Some of you only wrote down two or three. Some wrote five immediately. Some of you wrote more than five names you're praying for. That's great. And let me know. I want to know who you're praying for. Let me know. I want to pray with you, and as I do, pray for you. The other thing I would want you to do is have your testimony. What Jesus has done for you and is doing, that is powerful. That is transforming. Never underestimate that. You could carry a New Testament, carry tracts with you like this. Billy Graham, Steps to Peace with God. Know it, that God loves you. Sin separates you from God, and the cross is the bridge, so trust him to leave with somebody. Be ready with Scripture. You know, years ago, I had a friend from our singles group where I got involved in our local church more and more, and out of that, God pulled me from and into to ministry. He was a weightlifter. In other words, he spent not 20 minutes, not a 45 minutes, not even an hour. I mean, he spent hours doing this stuff, you know, or this. And he was, I'll say, he was ripped. I mean, he's, and as a weightlifter, they're usually a little more shorter in stature. He was about 6 feet tall, so he's a tall bodybuilder. And his thighs were probably my waist. Well, maybe not quite, but, you know, he's just, and you know, oh! And everybody's like, oh, Joe. And he's like out there, you know, doing things. And Joe, what do you do? And I do this, you know. And I do this. And I do. Wait, no, really. What do you do with all that muscle mass? Well, some of this. Well, he didn't quite say it that way, but you know, he gets the point across. Basically, he didn't do anything with all that muscle. He couldn't run effectively. He told me. I invited him to go to lap swim. He said, "I'll sink to the bottom." I'm not sure where Joe is at today. I know he is a solid believer, follower of Jesus. But the truth is, we don't want to just have all the means, have all the power, and not do anything. God invites us to trust him, to maybe lift some, no, not lift weights, but to trust him that he will accomplish what he wants through us and for us. You know, who is ready for the task? And I would trust that we're saying, "Here I am, Lord. Be pleased to use me today." I invite you to pray with me as we commit ourselves to the Lord. Lord God, even as I was reminded of my friend Joe so many years ago, and Lord, we don't want to just be built up in our faith to do nothing. Lord, may it never be that we are just encouraged, that we never share or say or reflect your life. Lord, so my persuasion is that it's not a Sunday only, that it's all of life. It's every day that as we walk with you and we live for you, that Lord, that you will permeate like the aroma of a scented candle throughout the room or the house. Lord, that we would be your fragrant today, each day, that we would be able to testify. We will be able to witness unto you, Lord. And not that we're called to lay our lives down, Lord, not at least not yet in this country, but Lord, that you call us to do this today. And Lord, there are those that are burdened, I know, in our hearts and our minds. Their faces flash before our very thinking right now, our thoughts. But Lord, in our moments here, thank you that you are our foundation of our lives, that we cannot do anything without you and without your divine enabling. And Lord, even to do this, to be witnesses wherever we go, whatever we do, is a challenge. And we sometimes forget. Sometimes we blow it, God. But thank you, Lord, you do not give up on us. No, you don't. Lord, in all these things, we are ever so mindful and grateful that you call us to be your servants, your people. And Lord, thank you that you still choose us. And Lord, that you would choose to use this church and bless and honor this church with reaching more and more for your namesake. God, as we make it about you, Lord, we need you to do so in us and through us. Lord, we can't do it apart of ourselves, ourselves. So Lord, we thank you together what you will do now as we commit ourselves to you. And I thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we're able, I invite you to stand, and we're going to be led in singing this time. Called to be servants, just a challenging reminder as we serve our risen Lord today. great reminder, isn't it, friends? And in the New Testament book of Philemon, a personal letter to a friend of the Apostle Paul's, he writes this, and this is part of my prayer for this body. "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers," he writes, "because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Make that your own. Let's pray. Lord God, indeed, we thank you together for who you are and remain. And Lord, that we want to be a refreshment. Lord, we want to be active in sharing our faith, to be the testimony, the witness you want us and designed us to be, Lord. Find us faithful. Find us fruitful. But Lord, we are so dependent. We are in great need of the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. Lord, I can't wait to see. But Lord, to you we offer ourselves as part of your kingdom work. To you, God, be all the glory, all the praise, for it's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit we pray. Amen.